MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Tiller Kadikoi, a Leventine & Co. managing partner. Tiller, appreciate the time. US bonds, a remarkable move. I mean, we've seen them sell off. So bonds down, yield up, because of course there's the inverse relationship. But over the last couple of months, almost a 1% move in the 10-year bond, which in the bond world is massive.
It is. It's a significant move, like you said. Especially, remember, we were trading at close to 3.6% after Fed rate cuts. And now post-election, we are, I believe, today around 4.4% back to almost, I believe, like 3-4 month highs.
Is this or just Trump? Because, you know, you mentioned, of course, we got that first rate cut from the Fed back in September. Is that some of it? Is it just sort of a Trump response?
Good question. Here, I have to give you my own opinion,
sure.
You know, because there's not that much data we can, but I believe it is a reaction to the Trump election results.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, he has basically complete power of the government now.
Yeah.
I mean, lower house, upper house, and also, of course, you know, he's selected quite an aggressive cabinet. I believe it's to do, and there's a decoupling between how the equity markets view things and how the bond markets view things. There's a decoupling there, and I believe that's because if you look at his policies, straight out, they're inflationary policies.
Yeah.
And including potentially, arguably, South Africa, post-COVID, what has been the biggest reason for governments to fall or lose majorities? And I believe it's inflation, whether it be the UK prices, whether even in India,
yeah,
losing the supermajority and just prices going up. Because inflation in the US, though we're looking at, you know, we kind of look at ranges between 3% in the last year, 3.5% down to 2%. The issue is at the consumer level, so consumer prices, seeing consumers on year on year see a 20-22% increase in prices. That hurts people. Now, why am I underlying this point? This, I think, was the biggest factor in Trump's win. But his policies are inflationary, and that inflation hasn't completely calmed down. And what do I mean inflationary? For example, very, very difficult. But he says he's going to throw out illegal migrants.
Yeah.
Again, you could look at the impact of immigrants in the South African economy, very similar in the US. If you have, I believe, 11 million unregistered immigrants, the US economy is growing, and they are doing a lot of the hard, unwanted jobs, including construction, etc. And these guys are worried because if they do start, even at a small scale, taking people out of the job market, it's going to have an inflationary impact. He's been talking about 10% tariffs on all imported goods, 60% on Chinese goods. Even if he does half of that, that's going to have an impact on inflation. And his, let's say, hawkish views towards the Fed. The Fed chairman is going to potentially get changed in 2 years' time to mid-Trump term, 2026. Is he going to put in his place someone he's more able to control? And if there is inflation, what's the policies? So the big question is, when the environment, and that's why we're watching interest rates, sorry.
Yeah.
When the environment is unstable like this, rather than governments controlling economic policy, economic outcomes can lead to change of government or, let's say, at least restricting government policy, as we saw in the UK.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Liz Truss, and what, I think she made 49 days after the 30-year gilts went to 5%.
Yeah. So, you know, is it going to be a Liz Truss moment? It's really speculative to say something like that. But the fixed income market is most definitely much more cautious than the run on the equities. You know, it's, I think crypto and equities are, personally, I think they got a little ahead of themselves. They're pricing too much in. And something that I haven't been able to read much on, and, you know, it's actually a really interesting discussion point. Everyone's kind of bullish on equities. One reason is, you know, will Trump bring down corporate tax rates to 15%? Okay, he does that. Okay, on paper, valuations go up. But a lot of these companies are going to start borrowing again this year and next year. Now, some of these companies, you know, borrowed at maybe 300 basis points below current levels. So how's that going to impact bottom line? I haven't really seen anything post-election on that, and that's something I'm curious about.
Yeah, that's a great point. The other one is Trump, you know, he wants to cut the corporate tax rate down to 15%. We've also got his tax cut, which he did, expires, I think, in 2026. And of course, with Trump in power, he will do his best to renew it, if not even perhaps expand it. And this then is less revenue for the U.S. Treasury, and their revenue goes down. Their borrowing costs go up because we've got the 10-year at over 4%. And this really starts to put a squeeze.
It puts a squeeze, and just to understand the spending, etc., on, like, there was a very conservative, I apologize, I can't remember who it was, but there was a conservative group's study on the deportation cost of 10, 11 million people out of the US.
Mm-hmm.
It would take over 5 to 6 years and cost, I believe, $1.5 trillion of government spending. So it is a very populist environment, and we must put into perspective, however we like our South African Elon Musk, what he can do to government spending, and plus is very limited. But let's say he cuts jobs, that's going to increase unemployment in the US. So, you know, there's all these things to think about. And we just unfortunately have to wait and see.
It is a wait and see. And my sense is much like Liz Truss had the, I don't know, it was a good sense, good grace, good something to step down. I don't see that coming from a President Trump when he's only gets sworn in on the 20th of January. A last question. A lot of folks have been seeing, you know, saying, oh, but he's going to charge the tariffs, but that'll generate revenue. I mean, it will, but that's not going to offset. I mean, that's not the solution to anything, truthfully.
No, it's not. And also think of it this way. I mean, I believe always that in efficient markets to benefit the consumer. So if a product, whatever the product may be, I don't care, automobile, computer, the best optimum price solution is an imported solution. The consumer is going to end up getting a second quality product at a higher price that's locally made. And if the tariffs impact imports into the market, you see an increase in demand for the local product, that's going to increase prices as well. So, I mean, those numbers never quite play out the way people expect them to play out. And another thing is one mustn't forget the pricing capacity of certain countries against when they're exporting goods, especially China.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I take your point. And I love that. You put a tariff on something, the local product isn't cheaper. The local product, it just gives them a little bit of extra space to ramp prices and ultimately margins. We'll leave it there. That's Tiller Kadikoi, Leventine & Co., Managing Partner. Always appreciate the insights.
This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.